supporters of presidential candidate Vice President Leni Robredo turn up in full force at her campaign rally in Pasig. Vice Presidential Beatriz Alito David urges his fellow candidates to form a coalition to beat the Marcos Duterte tandem. We'll speak to Mr. David later on in the program. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky opened to negotiations with Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, but says he's also prepared for a wider war. China accused of using Russian tactics in legitimizing its claims on Philippine waters. We'll tackle that with Professor Dindo Manhit of Strat-Base ADR Institute. And local oil firms set to implement a huge pump price rollback. Hi, I'm Carmina Consantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with last night's show of force by supporters of presidential candidate Vice President Leni Robredo, turning the stretch of Emerald Avenue in Pasig City into a sea of pink. Police estimate more than 100,000 attended the star-studded event. It's the biggest crowd so far for the vice president since the campaign period began.
Lumilitaw ang ganitong sipag, ang ganitong passion, ang creativity. Hindi lang po dahil sa kulay natin, hindi lang dahil sa amin ni Senator Kiko, saka sa ating mga senatorial candidates, ang ipinapakipaglaban nyo. Ang ipinaglalaban po natin dito, yung kinabukasan ng mga anak at magiging anak ninyo.
While the main focus of Saturday's presidential debate was the candidates' pandemic recovery plans, the attendees also couldn't help but call out the one presidential aspirant who skipped the event. RJ Cruz reports.
Some of the nine presidential candidates present in the debate just had to drag the lone absentee, survey frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr., during the first presidential debates organized by the poll body for the 2022 elections.
Among all the presidential aspirants, narito man o laging absent, walang sino man, kundi ako, ang sadya at aktwal na nagsugal ng sariling buhay sa pagligtas sa panganib ng sino man. Kailangan natin ng Pangulo na handang ipaglaban kayong lahat para ipanalo ang sambayan ng Pilipino.
May eleksyon o wala, bagyo man, kahit anong sakuna, pandemya, kahit anong problema, nandito po ako. Kahit po anong kwento ang ipakalat sa akin, ang totoo, kumpleto po kami ng resibo. Kaya po wag na nating hanapin ang ayaw namang humarap sa atin. True leaders show up and man up.
Some candidates want to collect the billions in unpaid estate taxes of the Marcoses so they can give the money as aid to those suffering from the rising costs of fuel.
Saan ayon din ako, pare? Kailangan natin kunin yung 203 billion na yun.
Umasa kayo, mga kababayan, yung isang pamilyang may utang ng 203 billion na estate tax. Sisiguraduhin natin, sisingilin ko yun, kukunin ko yung 200 billion na yun, ibibigay ko sa magsasaka, ibibigay ko sa driver bilang ayuda ng taong bayang nangangailangan ng tulong ngayon. Kung masisingil ko yung 203 billion na estate tax sa isang pamilya at iatras ko ang buwis ng krudo at kuryente at 50%, we are going to lose 65 billion pesos. Now, meron pa ako 203 billion minus 65, marami pa akong daang-daang billion pa ang pwede natin maibigay sa tao.
Pinasa naming mga tax packages, ang dami nun eh. Ang na-attain lamang, 101 billion pesos. Meron 203 billion nga na sisingilin lamang na andyan na bakit ay singilin ng biyaya.
Ang ibibigay natin na ayuda ngayon sa napantawid pasada ay 200 pesos na napaka-konti nun. At ito, 230 billion pesos. Pag nasingil natin ito, hindi na natin kailangan tipirin yung ating mga kababayan.
Before the candidates took aim at Mr. Marcos, they tried to squeeze in their positions and questions to each other on the COVID-19 pandemic and the economy in the two-hour debate. Some would like to prioritize agriculture as a means to recover from the pandemic.
Gawin natin siyang isang agricultural powerhouse na kung saan po nakadikit ang mga ilang mga industriya, dahil lang kailangan po natin ng isang industriya na nasyonal na pwede pong scale up at pwede pong matugunan ang pangangailangan ng mga ating mga tao.
Maraming mga kabataan tayo ngayon ang malnourished, maraming nagugutom, itong ating isecured. Kailangan natin paunlarin ito, yung sakahan natin, itigil natin ang rice tarification law, i-suspend natin yan o i-refill natin ang rice tarification law at magkaroon ng bagong roadmap.
Agrikultura, dapat po mamuhunan tayo na payabungin ang katayuan ng ating mga magsasaka. We invest in post-harvest facility and look into yung ating presyo ng fertilizer, masyado na yata nating hindi pinapansin. Pagbababa ng krudo na ginagamit din nila.
Others believe job creation and boosting small businesses would be the way forward.
Kaya bubuksan ng pamahalaan ang sources ng capital, yung pinakasimpleng pamamaraan upang ang capital ay makarating sa mga kababayan nating nagnanais magkaroon kaagad ng hanap buhay.
Ang sektor na unahin ko po ay ang MSMEs, micro, small, medium enterprises. Bakit? Sapagkat 99.5% ng ating mga enterprises ay nagmumula sa MSMEs. At ang nawalan ng trabaho, mga 400,000, mula sa 5.7 million, naging 5.3 million na lamang.
Make available yung loans para sa mga maliit na korporasyon. Sa mga pamilya, i-open natin yung mga discount windows, not only to the corporations, but also the cooperatives.
Magpo-propose po ako ng 100 billion stimulus fund para buhayin ulit yung mga MSMEs. Ito pong 100 million na to, ang portion nito conditional cash grants, another portion nito ay low interest loans para mabuhay ulit sila. Pero ito pong stimulus fund na to dapat mapunta din sa capacity building, mapunta din sa pagtulong sa kanila na mag-digitize, matulungan din po sila na makahanap ng maayos na merkado.
All candidates believe in the need to boost the healthcare system so that the country is self-reliant in case there is a fresh surge in COVID-19 cases or worse, a different pandemic. But there were differences on how the IATF should move forward.
Ang pwede pong gawin kasi dito is to develop a what you call a health security council na kung saan kasama po ang DOH, DILG, DTI, tsaka po civil society para magkaroon po ng consultation.
IATF dapat i-abolish yan. Walang niminsan from the very start of resolution number one nila, banning all nurses, yung may mga live contracts, maling-mali na. Yung vaccination, ang vaccination, okay naman, pero wag gawing mandatory. Do not force it to people.
Hindi masama ang ITF dahil kailangan nga natin yung ITF, pero kailangan lang talaga yung guidelines magagaling sa isang pinuno, isang pangulo. Kung kailangan palitan yung mga tao na nanandyan, ilagay natin yung tamang tao, yun ang gagawin natin.
While the candidates have a lot in common, they do have differences. COMELEC hopes that in the series of debates that they organized, voters will be better able to see which candidate best carries the values and interests that they want to see in the 17th President of the Philippines. RG Cruz, ABS-CBN News.
An analyst believes Manila Mayor Isko Moreno's move to raise the issue of the 203 billion peso unpaid estate taxes of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. sends a good political message.
I think that was a very good political message to send to the people, just to drive home the point that there's actually money that can be collected from the Marcoses and therefore used for the pandemic response. Because as you know, the government has been saying that that we are short on cash to fund the subsidy programs that's needed to fund the stimulus packages that the business sector, especially the small and medium enterprises, are asking for.
Meanwhile, political science professor Gene Franco says it was essential for the debate to tackle issues surrounding Marcos.
People need to know that Mr. Marcos is accountable for this, and this has to be presented in a debate where he was not present, because it is precisely the fact that, you know, people are disappointed that he's not attending debates, because debate is one way also by which candidates can be held accountable, no? With the things that they've done in the past and the policies that they are proposing to the people if they get elected.
Presidential Bet Leody de Guzman speaks at a forum with students for the exploration and development of space in the Philippines. Mike Navallo now joins us for more. Mike.
Hi, Camille. Presidential candidate Cal Leody de Guzman said he will prioritize and raise the budget for the science and technology sector should he win as president in the May 2024. In an online interview with members of the students for the exploration and development of space in the Philippines, de Guzman said the government has allotted only a small amount to the sector for the past 2 years. The Department of Science and Technology currently has a budget of 24.8 billion pesos, which is roughly 0.5% of the 5.024 trillion peso national budget for 2022. For de Guzman, this is not enough. The sector, he said, is key to the country's economic recovery, as it is vital in reviving manufacturing and creating our own industries. We are no longer dependent on importation. He, however, did not mention any specific amount, but said it should be raised to match the amount for developing our food production and reopening of our own industry. The labor leader plans to invest in research and development so the Philippines can develop its own vaccine. They also intend to give incentives to investors and science and technology workers to prevent brain drain, as well as provide commensurate salaries and benefits and improve our own manufacturing, health, and farming sectors. Sectors which, he says, all need science and technology. De Guzman, however, said he will oppose certain projects and discontinue reliance on industries that destroy the environment. Among them, the Kaliwa Dam project, which he said will not only destroy the environment, but also risks of corruption. Different groups have opposed the Kaliwa Dam project, intended to provide a new water source for Metro Manila's increasing water needs. They pointed out 150,000 people in villages in Canay Rizal and General Nakan Quezon will be displaced by the project. The 12.2 billion peso project is funded by official development assistance from China, but some observers have pointed out there's a cheaper proposal from Japan. De Guzman said he also opposes open pit mining and advocates for the passage of the National Land Use Act to determine which areas are off limits to mining. To achieve net zero carbon emissions, De Guzman said he aims to lessen dependence on coal and fossil fuel and will ban coal-fired power plants. He also said he opposes the use of nuclear technology, saying the Philippines is not ready. He says it is expensive, dangerous, and takes a long time to build, and says that rather than resorting to nuclear technology, he would rather resort to renewable energy, which is cheaper, cleaner, and more labor-intensive. He was asked to comment on vice presidential candidate's response against fossil fuel. He said that he agrees with running mate Walden Berry's answer that beyond removing excise tax and fuel, governments should resort to price control. He advocates that we should also do away with oil deregulation. As for his possible appointees, the science and technology sector, he names a few of them who are aligned with his policy of shifting to renewable energy. Among them, professors Ed Tadden and James Miraflores, and activists leading NACSIA. Hermina?
Thanks a lot, Mike Navallo, there joining us on the line. Moving on, let's now get an update on the campaign activities of Aksyon Demokratiko Standard Bearer Manila Mayor Isko Moreno Dumagoso. Our very own George Carino now joins us with the latest. George, over to you.
Hi, Casey. Mayor Isko Moreno Dumagoso is now in Lucena City and trying to talk with the tricycle drivers and other members of the community as he continues his presidential campaign for the May 9 elections. Dumagoso arrived early Monday morning and joined the flag raising ceremony of Lucena City, and he was met by Mayor Dodon Arcala. He joined them for breakfast, and immediately after meeting the staff and employees of Lucena City Hall, he came to the waiting media before boarding on the float, which took him to the motorcade. During the interview, he said that he will continue his strategy, which is to face directly the people, especially in remote areas, because he knows that the people have no means to go to town centers, and it will be very cumbersome for them to look for transport money just so that they can join the caravan or be in the presence of Mayor Isko during town hall meetings. That's why he said he decided to continue with meeting communities in pockets of town hall meetings like what he is having right now. In the afternoon, Mayor Dumagoso is scheduled to meet officials and members of the communities of other towns of Quezon. The ones that are lined up are the areas, municipalities of Sarriaya, Candelaria, and Tiaong. This is the initial schedule as he moves on the 49th day of the campaign here in Quezon Province. Casey.
Thanks a lot, George Carino, there joining us on the line. Take care, George. Keep safe. Well, just like her running mate, Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio was a lone candidate who did not attend Sunday night's COMELEC vice presidential debate, and her opponents had much to say about her absence. Senator Francis Pangilinan says those courting the support of voters must show up. Partido Lakas ng Masa's vice presidential bet Walden Bello urged the COMELEC to impose a stronger penalty on candidates who skip debates.
I'm tempted to walk out right now, you know, because precisely we're making fools of ourselves without this person who's just clapping up there. You know, Mr. Chair, can you answer this? We need your answer. You are the Commission on Elections. You can penalize these two jokers, Marcos and Duterte, for not showing up. They're spitting in the face of the Filipino people.
COMELEC Chair Saidamin Pangarungan says the poll body will take Abelio's call for stricter penalties into consideration.
We will address this particular problem in our next in-bank session on Wednesday. You know, the COMELEC is a collegial body. Lahat ng mga important decisions dadaan dyan.
Let me just correct myself there. There were two candidates who were in present during the vice presidential debates. One of them, Sara Duterte Carpio, and the other, Congressman Lito Atienza. We do know that the congressman just had a surgery a couple of weeks back, and that was a reason for him being absent during the vice presidential debates. Moving on, a call for unity to beat the UNI team. During Sunday's vice presidential debate, Rizalito David urged his fellow candidates to combine forces to take down the Marcos Duterte tandem. Mr. David now joins us here in the program. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program and good afternoon to you, Mr. David.
Isang magandang hapon sa iyo, Ma'am Carmina, at sa lahat ng nakikinig sa atin at nanonood.
Yeah, well, this call that you made, some of your fellow candidates weren't keen on that call to unite behind a single vice presidential bet to go up against Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio. First of all, why did you think of this proposal?
Well, I raised that 2 weeks ago, but people did not notice. And kaya kahapon, when I had the opportunity, I had to repeat the same call. When I made that call earlier, the figures coming out from Pulse Asia was not yet there. Mm. Pulse Asia released their figures last week, and true enough, malinaw na na medyo mahihirapan talaga ang lahat ng ibang kandidato na manalo doon sa figures na lumalabas na yon. And I don't see changes happening in the next 2 weeks, no? We still have time to talk, and I don't want a repeat of the 2016 elections na kaya nanalo si Rodrigo Duterte noon, no? Si Presidente Rodrigo Duterte, dahil hindi naman nagsama-sama yung ibang kandidato, no? Too late para magsama sila. Nung gumawa ng call si Mar Rojas, it was too late.
Here's so the thing, though, Mr. David, when you talk about this proposal, are you focusing only on winnability, or are you also focusing on the principles and the platform that go that all these candidates espouse? Go ahead, Mr. David.
Both. Actually, it's something more personal to me. No? Parang sa akin, anybody but Bongbong, anybody but Sara. I've been through the atrocities of the Marcos regime, no? Martial law. So sa akin, dapat wag na maulit ito. And then the only time na pwedeng mangyari na ano yan is kung sila ulit ang uupo sa pwesto, no? So, ang sinasabi ko dito, pagsamasamahin na natin yung pwersa natin para hindi na maulit yung nangyari in the past, no?
Alam niyo na ho by now kung ano yung naging reaction ng at least dalawa dun sa mga iba pang mga contenders. What do you make of their reactions? One said that it's too early for you to make that call. The other said, no, he's going to really fight. Go ahead.
Hindi ko alam kung sino yung nag-react ng ganun because I spoke to my fellow candidates last night. Mm. No?
After the debate?
No. After I made the proposal, pagpasok ko pa lang kasi ng venue, kinausap na ako ng media, and I made the proposal already.
Yeah.
Before I repeated that doon sa debate proper mismo, no?
Yeah. And did you have a chance to talk to them privately?
Yes.
And what did they say?
Ang hindi ko lang nakausap si Kiko eh.
Mm-hmm.
Pero yung iba, okay naman sila, no? Open sila doon sa pag-usapan. Siyempre, may mga arrangements na gagawin yan, ano? Hindi lang naman pwede na ang magko-combine ng forces ay yung mga vice presidential candidates.
Yeah, because that was going to be the next question. Are you just going to confine yourself with a call to unite the vice presidential candidates? What about their principals, their presidential candidates? Go
Actually,
ahead, Mr. DeVito.
Kinausap ko sila kasama yung presidential candidates. Kumbaga, a grand coalition of all the parties involved, no? Ng presidential and vice presidential candidates. For example, PDSP, wala naman siyang vice presidential candidate. No? Mm. Pero sinasabi ko na dapat kasama yon. In fact, I received a text already from their side na ituloy nyo yung call. No? Parang ini-encourage na ituloy namin yung pag-uusap na yan.
Sa lahat po ng nakausap nyo kagabi, sino po doon ang talagang nagbigay sa inyo ng senyales na susuportahan kayo?
Almost everyone, except for Senator Kiko, kasi hindi ko nga siya nakausap about it.
And what did Senate President Tito Soto tell you?
Well, he's open to it. He's very much open to it. Pag-usapan. Habang may panahon pa, kasi ang sinasabi ko, sana by April, yung final na presidential and vice presidential debates, one-on-one na yung labanan. No? Kunwari, kung sino yung mapag-aagrihan namin who has the best chance of winning, no? for the vice presidency, siya yung itatapat namin kay Sara. Tapos yung namang one who has the best chance of winning sa presidential derby, siya yung iaharap natin kay Bongbong Marcos.
So
parang ganun.
If I were to ask you now, I mean, it's pretty clear that you think that Senate President Vicente Soto III is a more formidable candidate to face Sara Duterte Carpio. If we take that discussion and focus on the presidential derby, who do you think is the most formidable one to go up against BBM?
Well, I wouldn't mind supporting Lenny Robredo. Ang sinasabi ko nga dito, sino yung may pinakamagandang chance na talunin yung Marcos Duterte tandem? Kaya sa akin, hindi na nagmamatter kung sino yon, but kung sino talaga lang yung mayroong pinakamalaking chance, yun ang sinasabi ko. No? Pero kung lumalabas ngayon na maganda yung chance na ni Ginang Lenny Robredo na talunin si Bongbong Marcos, I will support Lenny. Ang sa akin naman, it's anybody but Marcos and Duterte.
Why do you think that is so? What do you think is going to happen if both of them win in the May 9 elections?
Sinabi ko nga nung minsan, Mangarimina, magpakumatay na tayong lahat pag kaya nang nangyari. Alam mo, pinagtatawanan tayo ng buong mundo niyan. Kapag ka nanalo yung anak nung dating magnanakaw, pagkatapos mananalo yung anak nung mamamatay tao, sabihin ko na, no, ng diretso yung presidente ngayon, no? para tayong wala na tayong natutunan sa nangyari sa kasaysayan at sa nangyayari sa kasalukuyan. Yun ang aking panawagan. Kaya ako ginawa yon dahil ayoko nung late na tsaka parang mag-uusap, wala nang mangyayari. Eh, kung tutuloy naman kaming lahat, sadya naman wala kaming... hindi naman ako tipong masyadong pessimistic about it, pero sa lumalabas ng mga figures ng survey, malinaw naman na talagang malayo na yung agwat nila. Ang hirap ng habulin nun. So, the only way, na mahabol yun, pag pinagsama mo yung kwersa naming lahat.
Mm. And talking about that now, what are the concrete steps that you are going to take to follow through with what you just said? Ano ba ang aasahan ng tao ngayon mula sa inyo kung ito na po ang inyong gagawing aksyon na gumawa ng mga hakbang para pag-isahin ang mga ang puwersa laban sa Marcos Duterte tandem? Mr. David.
Mainly hintay lang ako na signal na kapag umuo na, tutuloy na natin yung usapan. And I would, of course, ask probably a faith-based leader kung papayag si Bishop Ambo David na pangunahan yung, i-facilitate lang no, yung discussion para naman malinaw ano, neutral yung ano no, yung magpa-facilitate, feel comfortable.
Yeah. Mr. David, I'm sorry, but we kind of lost you there. Your signal came in choppy. You were saying that you're just waiting for a signal before you go ahead with your plans. What is that signal? Where will it be coming from?
From the other political leaders na nagbibigay ng kanilang ano din ng kanilang consent na ituloy yung usapan, no? Tapos ang sinasabi ko nga, kung maari, pangunahan na isang faith leader, no? Yung facilitation nung ano nung usapan para neutral talaga, no? Kasi medyo maano yan eh, madugo ng konti yung usapan diyan kasi maraming mga bagay na dapat talaga pag-usapan, hindi lang yung tungkol dun sa plataforma, no, yung mga agenda na dala-dala ng bawat kandidato na nasusuporta na lang sa isang kandidato, paano pa yung gagawin diyan, ano? Ano ba yung magiging post-election scenario, instead manalo nga yung aming ano no, yung aming kumbaga bet, no, na ano yung magiging arrangement doon sa coalition na yan. So it's a coalition government na lalabas eh, di ba?
Aha.
Importante yan.
Yeah, so we know your intentions now, but there's one major roadblock here, Mr. David. Why should they take you seriously? Is this something that they should really take to heart and really think of you as the one who will really bring all the forces together? Because this may just be, you know, another decibel of noise, right? So why should all these candidates take you seriously and heed your call? Tell us.
I have no personal interest in this. No? I, di ba nung mag-usap tayo noon, sinabi ko sa iyo na it just fell on my lap. Kaya lang, kung mangyayari naman na yung pagsama natin dito sa election na ito ay magiging baliwala lamang, dapat hindi na lang tayo sumali. No? Yun ang nakikita kong isang bagay na makukontribute ko eh. Hindi lang yung desire na, for example, yung desire na manalo, kundi yung desire na magkaroon ng talagang pagbabago. So I'm taking that selfless initiative, no? And I'm asking the rest of the other candidates to do this, no? Ako mismo, wala akong personal na interest, no? Wala akong interest na pinaproteksyonan maliban yung aking pagmamahal sa bayan. At ikalawa, ito naman ay nagmumula din, Mang Carmina, doon sa naging karanasan ko nung ako'y bata under martial law, plus yung mga threats to my life even during this time, no, nitong panahon ni Ginoong Duterte. Kaya ganoon na lang yung passion ko na ituloy itong bagay na ito, hindi para sa akin, kundi dahil sa pagmamahal natin sa bayan, kaya natin ito ginagawa.
And we're going to have to leave it at that. Rizalito David, Vice Presidential Candidate of the Democratic Party of the Philippines. A pleasure talking to you. Take care and you keep safe. Thanks again.
Maraming salamat, Ma'am Carmina. Maraming salamat. God bless po.
And This week on In Focus, we'll speak with Vice Presidential Candidate Attorney Carlos Serapio. Attorney Serapio will be our guest tomorrow, March 22nd. If you have any questions, do send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Do use the hashtag ANC In Focus. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, Ukraine rejects an ultimatum to surrender the besieged city of Mariupol to Russian forces. More on that when we come back. Stay with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Supporters of presidential candidate Vice President Leni Robredo turn up in full force at her campaign rally in Pasig. Vice Presidential Beth Rizalito David urges his fellow candidates to form a coalition to beat the Marcos-Duterte tandem. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky opened to negotiations with Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, but says he's also prepared for a wider war. China accused of using Russian tactics in legitimizing its claims on Philippine waters. And local oil firms set to implement a huge pump price rollback. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is ready to negotiate with Russian President Vladimir Putin, but he warns a failure in negotiations could mean an escalation to World War III. In an interview with CNN, Zelensky said he will take even the smallest bit of opportunity to talk with Putin because without negotiations, the war would not end. He added, the Ukrainian people and army have demonstrated that they are a powerful force, but this dignity cannot preserve the lives of the innocent. Ukraine rejects an ultimatum to surrender the besieged city of Mariupol to Russian forces. Russia gave the city until early Monday to lay down its arms, but Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Irina Vereshchuk said there can be no talk of surrendering, calling the ultimatum a manipulation in a real hostage situation. The strategic port city has been one of the main targets of Moscow's attacks. It has been hammered by Russian shelling for days, cutting off communication and supply lines to trap civilians. Russia says it would open a humanitarian corridor to allow residents to flee if Ukraine agreed to surrender. President Zelensky said Russia is not doing anything but spreading terror.
The blockade of Mariupol will go down in history of responsibility for war crimes. To do this to a peaceful city, what the occupiers did to it is a terror that will be remembered for centuries to come. And the more Ukrainians tell the world about it, the more support we find. The more Russia uses terror against Ukraine, the worse the consequences will be for it.
Meanwhile, President Zelensky continues to call for international assistance as the war against Russia rages on. Zelensky addressed the Israeli parliament questioning their reluctance to sell their Iron Dome missile defense system to Ukraine. He adds Israel will have to live with the choices they make.
Israel knows well that the Iron Dome, your missile defense system, is the best. We know that you know how to protect your interests, and that you can definitely help our people, save the lives of Ukrainians, of Ukrainian Jews. We can ask a lot, why aren't we getting weapons from you? And why hasn't Israel imposed powerful sanctions on Russia, or is not putting pressure on Russian business? Either way, the choice is yours to make, brothers and sisters, and you must then live with your answer. The Ukrainians have had their choice 80 years ago. We save Jews. Therefore, we have between us the righteous among the nations, the people of Israel. Now you also have a choice.
Israel's Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has held numerous calls for both Zelensky and Russian President Vladimir Putin to try to end the conflict. China being accused of occupying, make that copying Russian tactics in encroaching on Philippine waters. Nationalist group Atin Ang Pinas says while Russia plants its nationals in Ukraine to instigate unrest, China has been building islands in the West Philippine Sea to legitimize its claims over the territory. Let's get a reaction on this from Professor Dindo Manhit. He is the president of Strat-Based ADR Institute. Professor Manhit, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Carmina.
All right, so let's cut to the chase here. Because of the tactics Russia has used in Ukraine and the similarities with the way China has furthered in its incursions in the West Philippine Sea, how probable is it that China will do the same to the Philippines?
It's good to really take this possible risk for the Filipino nation, given that there could be that assertiveness from China that we have seen through the years. But what's working with us, and it's something that we should continue to assert, is that in 2016, July 12, we won an arbitral award. So there's a basis for, based on international law, as compared to what we are seeing with regards to the situation between Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, but we know, along with, we know yes. what China thinks about this. We even know what the Duterte administration, or at least the president, that thinks about
that
this.
That is a problem, Carmina.
Exactly.
That's why I, my premise was we need to assert. We lost 5 years already, because imagine if we built a coalition since our victory. It would have placed China as a respectable global citizen, nation, that they should respect international arbitral award. But the weakness of our argument 5 years after, 5.5 years after, is we have not done so. So I see an opportunity with the 2022 election to really challenge our candidates. That can we assert our rights? Because this is what the Filipino people are asking for. And we saw that in a study that we did with Social Weather Station. And also, if we are perceived to be weak, Carmina, then let's build a coalition, multilateral. Let's not get drawn into this global power, superpower concept that's between the U.S. and China. No, this is the Philippine territory, and we have to protect our maritime rights and our territorial integrity.
Which we're going to talk about the 2022 elections in a bit, but first I want to backtrack a bit, Professor, and talk about the past 5 years that you said that we have lost. Within these past 5 years, Professor Manhit, do you think that China has been successful in creating this false legitimacy in the West Philippine Sea?
In terms of legitimacy because of possession, no? But it's something that we have said we could have done more by demanding it. They said by bilateral way, we should have asserted it more. Or if we really took a stand on it, maybe really develop, maybe not through ASEAN as a whole, but among ASEAN maritime nations who respect our arbitral victory, going beyond ASEAN, countries within the Asia or the Indo-Pacific, from as far east as India to as far west as India, as far east as Australia, maybe, and the U.S., and really build the coalition, or even the European Union. But we have failed to maximize our arbitral victory. Mm-hmm. But what we can do now, really, is how do we move forward?
Yeah, exactly. Because here's the thing. When you talk about the other countries, they know. They respect the arbitral award. They know about that win, and they know where the Philippines stands, but they cannot just unilaterally form that coalition for us. It's got to be
we got to
take the lead here. So
that's what I'm saying, Carmina. That's why I said we lost some time, because why will other countries stand up for us if we continue to commit ourselves and limit ourselves to bilateral discussions with China?
But there was a reason.
We are a small country.
Yeah.
So the best is to build our strength among countries that share our values. And what is our values? Don't we believe the concept of international law that should guide nations and their relationship with one another? Mm.
There was a recent incident, though, with a Chinese Navy ship, the Chinese ambassador being called by the Department of Foreign Affairs. You said that this was a strong move to assert the country's rights and defend our territorial integrity, but could more have been done?
If you would look at the past, Carmina, this is the first time, and it's even an acting secretary, Undersecretary Lazaro, who who took that step. Imagine if we were doing that since July of 2016. You simply had a new government at the time. We won a victory and built on that. We're not saying that we could have succeeded, but imagine the support that we could have generated. Mm. Imagine the possibilities of our own Navy, our own Coast Guard, not being confused of where they stand. A few years back, would it be, I think, 2020, at the start of the pandemic, or 2021, when we saw some aggressiveness on the part of some Chinese ships. Mm. But when our Secretary of Defense, our Secretary of Foreign Affairs took a stand that we will defend it, how fast our Navy responded. So we need to position ourselves and along the way, strengthen our capacity. Mm. Instead of simply accepting that we are a weak nation, because we are not. Mm-mm. We have to self-respect our own people, our own nation, mm. instead of saying that we cannot do anything about it.
Let's talk about the 2022 elections. That's just, what, over a month away. Do you think that by this time, this issue should have been discussed more by the presidential contenders? Are they talking about this enough? But also, when you look at the surveys, it's not really up there in terms of concerns of at least those who are being surveyed. Go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, is that Filipinos are always focus more on gut issues. That's why when you look at the top surveys, the top issues on different surveys, it's consistent. It's about the economic consequence of this long pandemic. Prices is on top, especially with what's happening globally. Jobs and wages, poverty, and with poverty, I always add hunger. And always corruption. Those are the key issues. But West Philippine Sea, or territorial integrity, or the aggressiveness of our big neighbor China, is an emotional issue. That's why when you ask it specifically, in the same surveys that you're saying, it could be number 7 or number 8, a top urgent national concern. But when you ask a follow-up question specifically to it, we see 8 out of 10 Filipinos wanting our government, our next government, to do something about it. Wanting our next government to strengthen our Coast Guard and our Navy. Wanting our next government, if we are a small country, to build alliances, multilateral alliances with other countries, to help defend our national interests. Mm-hmm. So we see that there. It says that I'm hoping that as we go into the so-called COMELEC debates, even with the absence of some candidates, this should be one of the major topics. And from there, get the candidates to define themselves both as a president and as a vice president. Mm.
I think,
and they be judged based on that.
Do you think that you've, or I don't know, you tell me, have you been, you know, consulting with all the contenders and really thinking what their plan is when it comes to the West Philippine Sea?
Yeah, what we have seen, Carmina, is positive positions of different candidates. How they would like to assert our rights, how would like to defend our territory. You see that VP Lenny Robredo, a very aggressive stance with regards from Isko Moreno, Mayor Isko, Senator Ping, and Senator Manny. And even with Senator Marcos, he has evolved his position. Initially, he was simply following the line of President Duterte, mm. a very weak, appeasing position. Mm. But what, a week and a half ago, I see an interview, but of course very limited in terms of policy positions from Senator Marcos, a different position. Now looking at countries that share values with us. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, we learn from that and really listen to the Filipino people and represent the interests of the Filipino people. It might not be a top issue, but it is an emotional issue, especially when you relate it that we were being sold. Our sovereignty is being sold to a bigger neighbor. For what? Mm. There's no value to this 5.5 years of appeasement shift to China. We have not generated enough investment. We have not generated enough goodwill from China. So it's good that we have to learn from what has happened this past 5.5 years.
Are you confident, though, that whoever wins, you said it yourself, all of the positions, seemingly positive positions when it comes to the West Philippine Sea, are you confident, Professor Manhit, that when the next administration steps in, whoever it will be, that it will be starkly different from what we're experiencing right now in terms of policies regarding the West Philippine Sea? Professor?
confidence is something that we have to work on. That means we have to put pressure. We have to generate it as a public issue continuously because it's very important. We have to learn the lessons of what we saw in Ukraine, how a small country can simply be pushed around and big destruction of their own territory. In our case, we are not landlocked, but we are surrounded by our seas, where we have our own resources in our seas. We have to protect them. So I think the group that you were quoting earlier and other groups should continue advocating it. Because at the end of the day, we need, and I would even quote President Duterte, an independent foreign policy that could serve the interests of the national, of the Filipino people. But what is that foreign policy? One that defends our territorial integrity, our maritime rights, benefit the Filipino people. And we should allocate resources for our Navy, our Coast Guard, for external defense, and build more alliances with countries with shared values. So I am confident, but we need to consistently raise this issue and push this issue.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Professor Dindo Manhid, President of Strat-Base ADR Institute. Always a pleasure talking to you, Professor. Take
Thank
care.
You.
Keep safe. China reports its first COVID deaths in more than a year as it battles its worst outbreak since 2020. This report.
Mainland China reported its first COVID-19 deaths in more than a year over the weekend. That's according to the National Health Commission, which said that two people died in the northeastern region of Jilin and that one of the dead was not vaccinated. Though small by international standards, China has been battling its worst COVID outbreak since the virus first emerged in Wuhan in 2020. On Sunday, the country's new daily cases continued to register in the thousands, bringing the total number of cases to more than 130,000. For all of 2021, China reported only two COVID deaths at the start of last year. The country is maintaining a dynamic clearance approach to control the spread of the virus, unlike many other countries that have chosen to live with it. That involves stringent measures such as short and targeted shutdowns and quick testing schemes where cases are found. Jilin, which borders North Korea and Russia, accounts for more than two-thirds of domestic infections in the latest wave.
America's top infectious disease expert says the U.S. could see a rise in COVID-19 cases similar to the spike happening in the U.K. But Dr. Anthony Fauci believes the situation won't warrant a return to strict masking protocols. COVID cases in the U.K. are rising, with an estimated 1 in every 20 people infected due to the spread of the Omicron subvariant.
The bottom line is we likely will see an uptick in cases as we've seen in the European countries, particularly the UK, where they've had the same situation as we've had now. They have the BA2. They have a relaxation of some of the restrictions, such as indoor masking. And there's a waning of immunity. Hopefully, we won't see a surge. I don't think we will. The easiest way to prevent that is to continue to get people vaccinated. And for those who have been vaccinated, to continue to get them boosted.
Last Friday, the World Health Organization also warned the end of the COVID-19 pandemic was a long way off, citing a recent uptick in global cases after more than a month of decline. The Philippines logged 577 new cases on Sunday, bringing the total tally to 3.6 million. The number of active cases stand at 45,201, the lowest since January 5th. 240 deaths were also recorded, pushing the country's death toll to over 58,200. Last week's positivity rate was at 2.7%, lower than 3.2% a week before, and still below the World Health Organization's 5% benchmark. In business, local pump prices are set to go down Tuesday after 11 straight weeks of hikes. Diesel prices will be slashed by 11 pesos and 45 centavos per liter, gasoline by 5 pesos and 45 centavos, and kerosene by nearly 9 pesos. Prices of imported fuel went down last week following fears renewed COVID lockdowns in China may dent demand. Hopes for a breakthrough in ceasefire talks between Russia and Ukraine also contributed to the downtrend in oil prices. The Philippine government will distribute another round of fuel subsidy next month. The budget department says another 2.5 billion pesos will be allotted for the subsidy of public utility vehicle drivers and 600 million pesos for the agriculture sector to help them cope with high oil prices. It began distributing the first tranche of fuel subsidies this month. But the DBM could not say when the promised 200 peso monthly aid for poor Filipino households will be given. And before we go, supporters of the Robredo Pangilinan tandem caught the attention of American pop star Ariana Grande. The singer posted on her Instagram stories an aerial video of the so-called Kakampink singing her hit song Break Free. After sharing the video online, Grande immediately became a trending topic in the Philippines. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.